How about your pastor? Right? How about the bishop? He loves that stuff, right? Well, I just want to just say how what an honor and a privilege it is for Linda and I both to be here. And we have so many special guests here this morning, especially those watching us from live stream. And it's so good to have you a part. You see moms and dads watching, grandmas and grandpas. You see these amazing kids. I mean, there's so many people saying that there's no hope for our children. I'll tell you what, there's hope for our children right here. Beside me, I don't know if there's anybody else that would lead a group like that. Beside the bishop. And if you haven't had a chance to come and see the foyer, it is absolutely gorgeous. So beautiful. And if you just want to come for the coffee, it's free. So I would come for that at least and hang around for a little bit. Yes. But of course, my dear wife, my parents are here. Mom and Dad LaRue, isn't it fun? Yeah. He's feeling better. Yeah. I was just with John and Amory Sokolowski's son earlier a couple months ago, and so it's so good to see them healthy in here as well, right? Yeah, yep. It's been so good. We had an amazing time yesterday, and already this weekend's been fantastic. So if you have your Bibles, the guys are going to help me up there, Matthew chapter 1. As you're turning, I just want to say a couple things. This is the greatest day that we've ever known. So I'm in my 41st year of Christianity, 42nd year of Christianity. If there's ever a day to embrace the promise of God, it's today. If there's ever a day to hope for not only our own lives but our families, it's today. The Lord's voice has been uttered around the world. His voice causes things to be that can never be without that. It is causing the entire world to shape. He's causing things to be made right by his voice. He is bringing salvation like fire around the world. Don't listen. I appreciate social media. I appreciate all of that. Good news, bad news, whatever. I wouldn't give a lot of time to it, but I want to encourage you right now. God is doing something great around the world. Salvation is coming to our cities, our nation, our universities. Watch and see what the Lord is intending to do. The glory of God is returning to the people of God in an unprecedented dimension. The revelation of Jesus Christ and the revelation of the person of Christ in us, through us, and the revelation and the manifestation of Him among us is going to increase in a way that we had never seen before. And the power and the might of the Almighty in an unprecedented way. It's already begun. Everything that you and I have known of the church world has come to an end. Especially those of us who've been around 25 plus years. We've kind of grown up in a day when we wondered if the Lord would keep his word. Many of my friends have gotten disillusioned, discouraged because they weren't sure if God would really do what he said. But I want to encourage you right now, he is absolutely going to do everything he has said. It is unprecedented, the manifestation of his power. So in the midst of this, what should we do? What should we keep focused on, heart beating toward, embracing and believing no matter what goes on, no matter what we see, not influenced by the world or the spirit of the age or the spirit of Antichrist or the many voices that are in our world, to not even be moved by that, but to stay so focused on what God has declared? What should we do? Matthew chapter 1. I finally found the reason why the lineage is here. Matthew chapter 1. Oops. Malachi, the only Italian prophet in the Bible. Now I got to go to Matthew, comes right after that. Malachi. No matter how many times you read the book, it says the same thing. I'm going to make you laugh for your caring fumes. Matthew chapter 1, one verse. We're just going to look at five verses this morning. Verse 17. There's a number here that I want us to see that's going to be very important to us. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David unto the carrying away unto Babylon are 14, 28. And from the carrying away and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. 42 generations. Jesus is the 42nd generation. It's a key number for us before I move forward because it is the number for a generation. We are living in the generation of Jesus Christ since his birth till his return. It's a generation, the number 42. Revelation chapter 11. As you approach the revelation, let me just say a couple things. It is not a book of eschatology, the study of the end times. It contains eschatology. It is a book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. He is unveiled in it and is continually being unveiled in it. It is not in chronological order necessarily. It is moves around a bit. Maybe 7, 8, 9 chapters are for one final generation. But isn't it beautiful about our God? Is he's not about one generation. He's about all the generations. It isn't just about my father's generation or bishops of my generation or my son or now my grandson and I'm going to have a great-grandson or granddaughter in the coming year. It's not about one generation. He is very generational. And so the book of the Revelation is very much generational. Revelation chapter 11, we're going to have a really fun time this morning in these verses. John's writing, of course. He is in this heavenly place and he's as a good prophetic writer, just like the prophet Ezekiel, Zechariah, just writing what he sees. He's writing what he's told. Chapter 11, verse 1. There was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is out without the temple, leave it out. Don't measure it. For it is given unto the Gentiles in the holy city, and unto the Gentiles and the holy city shall they tread upon 42 months. 42, you see it again? It's a generation, a generational thing. Verse 3, I love this. I will give, the word power is not there. I will give whatever is needed or necessary unto my two witnesses, those who are representing me. And they shall prophesy, speak from my mouth. For 1,260 days. Guess how much? 42 months. Excellent. You guys are great at math. Important. Clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of all the earth. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so for just this time this morning. I've already expressed what an honor and privilege it has been for Linda and I and for me especially to be a part of this great church, this great work, this incredible family, the Yates, this incredible leadership, these servant leaders. Father, this morning, do something in all of our hearts. Let there be a fresh focus, a fresh intent, an unveiling of a purpose that we this morning grip an ultimate intention for our generation, that we see you and latch on to you. Only you can unveil yourself, but once we see you, we can't help but to be transformed into that very image. It's inevitable. So, Father, no matter where we are, no matter how long we've been here, even if we're new this morning, watching or here, Lord, let by the Spirit of God, let what sometimes might seem impossible to know, let it be easily understood. So, Father, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Love these verses. Let me just spend time, and I didn't get a chance to ask Bishop, but I just needed the stage, if you don't mind, and I pushed that over to the side, even though it's a beautiful podium. Thank you, by the way, for helping me. I love it that it's John that's getting this because he's Hebrew. And the Hebrews have a way of thinking that I have to understand sometimes, especially the way this angel is talking to him. I love what he says to him. He gives him a reed, for it's a measuring stick. The prophet Ezekiel will get one, and I so love him. He's my favorite Old Testament prophet. And what he'll do is he will measure the temple. And so the idea for the Hebrew is that it isn't just to casually measure something, it is to so intently look at it that you know it, understand it, hold on to it, it never leaves your mind. You literally carry it with you all the day long. I was never raised that way. In our culture, I casually measure something, casually read something. Once I measure it, I forget it. Not here. So, and I love his words to John right away. He says, arise, measure. I don't know if John's sitting. We don't have any idea. But it's always this intent for the Hebrew. The prophetic word always is, no matter where you are, stand up. Even if you're standing up, stand up. It's a moment of time that I'm about to look at something that I've never seen before. It's about a time where I'm getting attention. When the prophet Ezekiel lays down, the Lord says, up. I'm going to show you some things. And this is the idea of it arising. It isn't so much sitting or casual. It's an idea that this is a moment that I want you to embrace this. I want you to see this. I'm changing something in your vernacular and your understanding and the way you see things. Then he begins to say to him, I want you to measure. Always the temple is always talking about Moses' tabernacle. It was Herod's temple at this time. And even at John's time, it was destroyed already. It was already obliterated. It wasn't Zerubbabel's temple. It wasn't Solomon's temple or David's tabernacle. This is Moses' tabernacle that is being referred to. It always is in the New Testament. Never really Solomon's temple except the restoration of David's tabernacle. Just for our Bible lovers, that was for. He says, I want you to measure the temple. I'm going to do it. There's going to be this holy place and this holiest of all in the holy place. And then he says this, and I want to begin here. He says, do not measure the outer court. Now, I'm going to start here, but I'm going to come back to it. Because it's been given to the Gentiles to trod and down, to trample. It literally means to disgrace it. I don't really like that. So what he's saying already, he says, listen, this temple, I want you to know it intimately. I want you to get it inside of you. I want you to bear it, think about it, know it, carry it with you. But everything out here, don't even bother with it. Now, there are six pieces of furniture in this, and I don't mean to school us this morning, but I'll talk about them a little bit. Because there's some missing in here that I think is amazing. There's two pieces that are out here, and I want to just share this with us this morning. The first was this brazen altar. What that was sacrifice for sins, for iniquities. That's what it meant to the Hebrews. So, and then the other one was this brazen laver, which was the place the priest washed. Now, please hear this for a moment. You see, Jesus Christ became the ultimate sacrifice. He was the one that laid his life on that altar. And everything of judgment, of guilt, he took it on for us and the entire world. This brazen laver represents the word of God. Because this word is so beautiful. It's a place where the priests would wash the blood off their hands. They could look into it as a mirror. They'd wash their feet. It was what that Bible does to me. It's just, it cleanses me. It washes me off. Please hear this. Every generation, the Gentile world will trodden down the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and the word of God. They will continually desecrate it. They will trodden it over. Don't get involved. Don't even listen. Don't even look. Don't even care. Don't measure it. Now, I'm going to come back here in a moment because the Lord would never leave this like this. But they are going to. They make fun of him. They say he's not even a God. He's not worth it. He was nobody. It was a stupid thing for someone to do. That's what they'll say in the word of God. I get on every university I go to. I love our universities, secular and Christian. I love them all. They're teaching institutions that the Lord is going to have influence on. They make fun of that Bible. I carry it around. They say, that's an old book. That has nothing to do with anything. But I can't explain to them. That book's alive. It separates my soul and spirit. It's a discerner of my thoughts and the intents of my heart. It causes me, as the written word, to know him and to know his ways. And the living word and the written word together are just inseparable. But they trodden it down. Don't measure it. Don't get to know it. Don't get intimate with it. Don't let it bother you. Don't listen to it. Don't listen to the rhetoric. Stay away from it. Don't give it attention. Just kind of go, whatever, whatever, whatever. That's kind of Hebrew, Italian. Don't even bother. Don't even give ear to it. Don't even listen. Don't come to the defense. He'll defend it. Watch, I'm going to come back here in a moment. But he says, measure the temple. First spot, please, this is Holy of Holies. Some numbers for you. It was 10 cubits wide, 10 cubits long, 10 cubits high. Here's the number 10 for us this morning. I'm going to give you some numbers, but I want you to get to what they are. It's divine order is that number. But here's what it is in its Bible understanding. Not so much God getting everything right. He doesn't have to do that. What this is what he has begun, he himself will see it to the end. Paul said it this way to the church in Philippi. Listen, I'm confident. Really, Paul, of what? Yourself? Are you kidding me? Of the government? No. Of the people of God? Not really. I'm confident. It's one thing. What he has begun, yo, he will finish it. He'll say about Abraham, Abraham was persuaded, fully persuaded, what God has started, even though he was 100, dead, his wife, beautiful at 90, dead too. He was confident for sure. He was fully persuaded what God had promised, he would do it. He would see it to the end. But watch for a moment. I love this number 30. This is going to help some of us. Especially those who are watching who've been struggling with, well, can I trust somebody? Will God really be with me? Am I called now? Am I called tomorrow? What's my position? Who am I supposed to be? What am I doing? Are they asking too much of me? Blah, 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 blah. This number 30 is the number for release to ultimate purpose. Isn't it amazing? Joseph goes into prison at 17. He's locked in Egyptian prison at 30 years old. He had a promise of coming out and being a ruler and that his brothers and his parents would bow down to him. He'd be somebody, but he was a prisoner. But at 30 years old, miraculously, he's released and becomes number two in the world. David, the same way. Chased around for 15 years by King Saul at 30 years old. All of a sudden, he's made king. Jesus is the best. So I want you to know, I want us this morning to begin to intimately know that what God has started in my life, in your life, in the lives of our families, in the lives of the church, in this generation, he's not only going to fulfill it, but he's going to do everything he has said. He will continue to do it. And no matter what I face, no matter what's going on out here, no matter what it looks like, no matter how I feel about myself, no matter what, I've got to intimately know, hold it before you, wear it, God will. He'll do what he said he will do. Measure that. Here, a beautiful thing about Moses' tabernacle, which I love. That's why I love this. And the whole idea of tabernacle was, see, there was no ceiling. It's the only building that was built, even Noah's Ark earlier than this, had a ceiling to it. It had a final floor at the top. This had no ceiling. It was cloth. But when the priest looked up, what he saw was this embroidered cherubims with purple, blue, and red. The priest understood he was wearing the similar colors. He understood that this was heaven's work in the earth and that heaven wasn't so distant. It was here. They could never experience it like us. But I've got to know every time I look up, I'm looking unto the Lord Jesus. I'm beholding redemption drawing near. And I can promise, I promise this, there's no ceiling. There's no place we cannot go. The limitations, they're off. Measure it. Yeah, but you don't know my family. Don't measure that. That's out here. Measure this family. We're part of a new family. I got a new brother. I'm a joint heir of God and Christ and the kingdom. Just by inviting him in immediately. What king does that? The next dimension. You good? Yeah, okay. Was this holy place. I love this. No veil. Veil's gone. We know by the Hebrew letter because that was torn. Now there's a door and it's wide open. No veil. Nothing separates me from this dimension. Nothing does. Not my sin. Not my attitude. Not my... Nothing separates it. There's a continual blood because of this crimson color that always speaks our name, my name, your name. And if I walk in the light as he is in the light, this blood cleanses me. And if I identify with it, it brings me to dimensions I could never believe. It's in there. This next one I love, there's going to be one piece. It's amazing, to our left, and you don't mind, I love this one. On this south side, on this north side, was the candlestick. It's not here. That always intrigued me. Where is it? We're going to talk about it in a moment. And then, on this side was the table of showbread. I understand why it's not there, but I love all this. It's a revelation of the person and life of the Christ right there. And on the other side of it, of course, is the candlestick on the south side. And it was this incredible, no unmeasurable, didn't have measurements. It's the idea of the Spirit, solid gold, and all the dimensions of the fire and the oil, everything about this Spirit, we knew it, talked about this dimension of them. It's all here, but this one piece I'm going to talk about in just a moment, it was the altar of incense. It's here. We're to measure it. Here's the dimensions of this holy place. 20 cubits long, 10 cubits wide, 10 cubits high. So we know this number 20, I love this number. Okay, so this is going to be larger than that one. The number 20 is divine influence. Divine anticipation, or anticipation in the divine. So see, I got this thing. They say to me, Jay, what's with the attitude? What attitude? Well, I mean, why do you walk like that? Walk like what? Why on Monday mornings you got this kind of thing going? Oh, you don't know. Even during the night I feel, what is that? I got this anticipation. Really, in what? Getting up in the morning, nah, you know, in this, no. I got a lot of hope there and all that, but oh, no, I got this thing. It's on the inside, yes. What is it? I'm anticipating what might he do? See, without us realizing it, he put it in us. There's a divine anticipation in us so that we can anticipate in the divine. Measure it. Think about it. Meditate it. Work it. Go to work next time. I don't care if they haven't given you a raise in 40 years. Who cares? I got somebody else that raises everything. Let's just go. Where do you work? McDonald's. Dry cleaners. I go to my billion-dollar business. What is the matter? Don't measure anything out here. Measure that. Same ceiling. Okay, the number 40 I love. It's usually described as a number for testing. It's not. It's a number for the entry into the inheritance of God. The testing period's over. The waiting period's over. Please hear this. Measure it, because God is about and has already begun to bring us into his ultimate intention of the promise of God in our individual lives in an unprecedented way. This is a day that we can absolutely believe him. Measure it with knowing that what God has started, he'll do it. What he began, he'll finish it. Yeah, but I'm a little tired. Doesn't matter about me tired. If he has to carry me all the way, he'll carry me all the way. If he has to send the wind to carry me, he'll send it. Oh, I love this altar. You good with that? Beautiful. This altar is, I love this. It's just a moment. It's one by one by two, the number four. It has four horns on it. This always spoke of authority or power. Just a minute. Yeah. So every morning, the priest came in. See, this spoke to me years ago when I first did this, and put incense on this. The incense were made up of five things, three special things, then salt and frankincense. I'm giving you more than you want, but you're going to enjoy this later. And it would kind of cluster up and fill it, and it would have an odor to it. And the priest would have to come over on this side and check the candlestick, but neither one of these here. This is here. What is this? Measure it. It speaks of, I'm going to do three things for us. Sometimes they limit to one, it's not. This is the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving him glory every single day. Incense. This is the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in a lifestyle of prayer. The giving glory, of course, is worship. The third thing is, it's him in forever making intercession for us. It's an incense. Here's what I have to know. He exercised authority in his entire life, in every place. In his own life, in the lives of those around him. He didn't rule them, but he walked in an authority that was unprecedented. Water would stop. Wind would stop. Demons would fear him. Men were moved by him. People who didn't believe in him believed in him. That's power. That's authority. What I want us to know is even more so, though, he knew when he prayed. He prayed a prayer in John 17. He said, listen, here's my prayer. I got to pay attention. This is my prayer for them and those who are coming. He's talking about us. I've given them the glory you gave me. I've given it to them. But I have another prayer that where I am, they will be. Where I am, they will be, and they will behold my glory. That was his prayer. You know what I say to it every day? I agree with that prayer. Bring us your glory. Let us behold you and see you. But here's the other note. I, from this room, can touch China, Afghanistan, Pakistan, South Korea, North Korea. I can touch Detroit, Los Angeles. We are meant to be people of prayer and intercession. Our lives giving him glory. Not just coming here. Doesn't mean I do this all day long, but I'm living for him, unto him, and it's giving him glory. It's an incense coming out of this thing. And then when we pray, the world is changed. We're the strongest people on the face of the earth. If two of you will agree, have a koinonia, touch anything, my Father will do it. It's greater than hydrogen. It laughs at nuclear. It's a nation around the world. I never thought that I could utter a prayer. Those are the long prayers. That wasn't a long prayer. So this whole, I realized, so I'm measuring this. I'm measuring his life. I used to just kind of read his life. I used to read about his life first, and then I started to read his life. Now I examine his life. I want to give glory. Look how he handled this. Look what he did to this one, how he handled this. I want to be a man who lives this out, and I'm walking out. But I also want to be a man of prayer in my life every day, not only for me, my own family, but this morning was my day for this church. It'll be Tuesday, and him again on Friday. It is a day. It isn't a laboring thing, but I know this, though. There isn't a power and authority in jail room, no, in us. Measure it. And then I love what he says. This really helped me. Because, you know, I used to pastor, but I kind of pastor pastors now in a sense, you know, whatever they want to call it. But I love this. This helped me. He said, measure the worshipers. It means those who live prostrate. I would measure the other ones. The rebels, the people who didn't like me, the people who didn't come to church, the people who were the people around my neighborhood, the people I just, for some reason, I said, maybe you're like me. I thought more about them than the worshipers. Because, you know, the worshipers, I don't have to, they're all fine. No. Get to know them. So I'm a guy. You get to know me. I examine people. I just do. And so I love to be challenged by a man or a woman who's walking with God. I don't measure anybody else. Well, you mean, Jay, what do you think of him? I said, what do you mean when I think of him? Well, he's not a good example. I'm not measuring him. Come on. Just measure the worshipers. Yes. Yeah, I'm sure there's one. There's more than that. Measure the worship. Help me. Okay. I want to come back out here now. All right. So here we have all of our life, every generation, they're just going to trodden down, desecrate Jesus Christ. They use his name like it's some kind of verbal thing out of the day. They just use it. They use it ugly sometimes, and they just say things, and then they snicker at the Bible. They laugh at it. They have shows on TV. Don't measure it. Don't even go there. Go like this. You're kidding me. Temporal. Jesus said, listen, if they knew, they would never do. They would never do it. Okay, so wait. He's got a couple things out here I want you to see. This outside measurement, I just want to give it to you. I probably shouldn't, but I need to. A couple things there. So it's 100 cubits this way, 100 cubits this way, 50, 50. Now, those numbers are amazing in general. But the whole number is 300. The first time we see this is Noah's Ark. Here's what it means. God is sovereignly working out there to bring to pass everything he has promised. The Gentile world doesn't know it. He is sovereignly, the number 3 and the number 100. He is sovereignly. What that means is it doesn't matter what anybody thinks or says. Governments can make their decisions. Ask the prophet Micah, well, out of Bethlehem will come the Savior. Really? How's that going to happen? Well, Rome is going to taxation the people and drive Joseph and his wife to Bethlehem, and there he'll be born. Sovereignly bring to pass what he has promised. So I have to worry about my boss's decision or my neighbor's decision or some king or some ruler. I don't have to worry about what they say because God is already working out his providential ability to bring to pass his word out here, 300. The curtains were 5 cubits high. That's the grace of God. The grace of God is not only in here with us, it's out there too. We okay? Now, this would be 15 weeks worth of Bible school, but you did really well here this morning. The last two. Now, this is a great debate in Christianity, and I'm not into debating much, and I'm certainly not into establishing eschatology if you're watching. There's these two witnesses. What the word is, though, they're representatives of him, that's the word witness, willing to give their lives fully for him. They will prophesy, and it is this. It is not just what I'm going to do shortly, but it is this breath of God, it's this movement out of the mouth of God. They're speaking for him. It's an amazing word there. They're the two olive branches and the two candlesticks that are before the Lord of all the earth. Now, maybe someday it could be Elisha and Moses. Maybe it'll be Pastor Paul and Bishop Steve. I don't know. Maybe it'll be Miss Chinita and Linda. I don't know. I don't know who's coming. But here's what I know for sure from the whole text of our Bible. There's only two that have been beside the Lord of all the earth, and that was the Word and the Spirit. Now, here's what he's saying. I always thought the Word and the Spirit should be in here. Oh, it's always here. But what he's doing is he's putting the Word and the Spirit out there. They're not in the Holy of Holies, nor in the holy place. They're in the outer court that I'm not to measure because I don't need to deal with it. I don't have to know about it. It doesn't have to worry me at all. Maybe you're supposed to be in government. Fine. But even there, don't get caught up in the rhetoric of stuff that seems to oppose. Don't be afraid of the spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of the age. Don't even listen. Don't go there. Don't be moved by it. They're afraid that the glory of God would fill the earth. They're afraid that you and I would start measuring all of this, that we would know it intimately, that I would begin to look at this altar of incense, the only thing left, and that I might be willing to walk like him, believe like him, pray like him, and live a life of intercession. That's the fear. And what he says is this, I'm going to give my two witnesses, not power, whatever they need. So I don't do anymore. I have a lot of, now, you know, I still speak with teenagers a lot, junior high, college, still at my age. I still do, already planned for the following year. I love it. I encourage pastors, let me with your youth. And they go, really? Yeah. They say, well, I can't talk with them. I can. Because I got someone's voice and heart that loves them and wants to say and speak to them. I do. So he'll put whatever is necessary in their lives, word and spirit, whatever is needed, whatever needs to happen, they will have the power to say whatever is necessary to say. He's releasing that to us individually. So I know out there, and I love prophecy in here, but out there the Lord is going to increase the word of God in whatever level. I wanted to, that's right, I almost forgot what I wanted to say because I got so much going in my mind. I'm doing good because I need to say some things. This is what I said, and I don't want to leave this out. I say to them, they say to me, Jay, you have something to say to youth? I says, you don't realize how much the Lord wants to say it. And he goes, what's going to happen here? What are they going to do with it? I don't think it's worth saying it. I say to them, listen, please understand this. God is absolutely speaking to the young people. Absolutely. And a demonstration of spirit unprecedented among them. So I want us to be encouraged with our public schools and be encouraged with our public educational system because God is about to have influence over them. The number four in all of this thing here is divine influence in the world. His ability to influence the world. He's doing it. All four corners of the earth, he's influencing by his word and his spirit. We're good. Please be intimate with the Lord's ability to bring to pass his word Be intimate, knowing, carry it with you, no matter what we face, no matter what's going on, no matter how the family looks. We can believe that God will do everything he has said. Don't measure any of that's going on out there. Don't be moved by it. But be very aware that he is fulfilling his will and his ultimate intention there, that he is now releasing the word, spirit. And I love the whole thing. I can't even deal with the imageries of the olive branches, of the olives, and it can't even get near that. But please just hear this, though. We are now entering a dimension of the revelation of the word of God and the manifestation of the word of God in an unprecedented way to us, through us, and out of us. But the spirit of God, by revelation, by power, and by inner understanding of the might and power of God, he will begin to manifest himself. If there was ever a day that you and I, don't wait for some healing ministry to come. I appreciate them. Don't do that. Don't wait for the prophetic word from Jay. I think it's very good. I love that you're here. I do. But this is a day that you and I can begin walking out, understanding that the power of God is with us, and the things that he did, we will do, and greater things than that will we do. Stand with me for a moment, please. One final thing as you're standing. It's their clothing that really levels me here in a good way. Sackcloth was always an image of humility. And so I have to remember, when the Lord's moving like this, he gives grace to the humble, but the proud he will resist. And so I've got to stay humble. I just have to. In every way, in my own home first, in my unique neighborhood, or within my co-workers, which happens to be the church around the country, family, there has to be any humility within me. I've got to wear it. I've got to have it. They're going to have sackcloth, and there's going to be that kind of dimension. So I'm begging us, let's choose humility instead of self-right, self-choice. Me, it's about me. Are we okay? All right, how about just one with me like this? As Lord, this morning, let Frontier be the mark for Leesburg. Let us individually, let every father and mother be the mark for their family. Every grandfather, grandmother be the mark for their family. Uncles and aunts be the mark for their family. That I'm no longer going to measure the society or this world or the rhetoric of it. I'm not going to measure young people by their color code, by the way they're living, the way they say. I'm not going to measure it anymore. I'm going to keep my intent upon the temple of God, the revelation of the greatness of our God, the revelation of Jesus Christ and his ultimate intention. Lord, do something in us to literally believe that the Word and the Spirit would be in unprecedented dimensions in our day, despite what we've seen, despite what we've lived through, despite what it appears to be. Knowing that in the world you're accomplishing that which you've declared and purposed to accomplish, and that the grace of God is in great abundance there. Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. How about giving the Lord a hand for me? Please be seated.